So this faithful old Christian, John, is in exile on the island of Patmos. But one Sunday, a bit like this, he finds himself in the presence of this amazing vision. Overwhelming vision of Jesus Christ. And he falls to the ground as though dead. But Jesus says, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And write down what you see and send it to the seven churches." So we've got the map back. Can you split the... Remember, in Revelation 7 means all. This is a letter to all the churches. Not just those seven churches, but all the churches in all the ages. And so it's a letter to us this morning. And this one says, "Dear church in Ephesus." But really it's saying, "Dear Denton Church." Meeting in Denton School Hall, but still Denton Church. Dear Denton, love from Jesus. But let's think about Ephesus for a second. Ephesus is the big one. Ephesus is the biggest city in Asia Minor. It is the gateway to Asia Minor. There is a church in Ephesus, and it probably met in a hall a bit like this, but Ephesus is not famous for its church. Ephesus is famous for something else, and I'm going to show you what it is on the slide here. You're not going to know what that is, but it is the temple of Artemis, the temple of Diana. And according to my son's dangerous book of boys, that was number 3 of the 7 wonders of the ancient world. Okay? Because it was massive. And in a way, that temple sums up Ephesus. Ephesus is big, it is rich, it is immoral, and it is pagan. But there are Christians there. And Jesus has 3 things to say to the Christians in Ephesus. And I just want to put them up on the screen. These are the 3 things that Jesus has to say. Jesus knows, he warns, and he promises. And the reason that I put them up on the screen is because that is the pattern for all the letters to the churches in Revelation. Jesus knows, he warns, and he promises. And the thing that he knows this morning is what a fantastically great job the church in Ephesus is doing. All right? It is a really great church in so many ways. And if you were at Diocesan Synod yesterday and you heard what's going on, you'd come back thinking Denton is a pretty good church. So look at verse 2 with me, will you? Look at verse 2 in your reading. Jesus says, "I know your deeds. I know your deeds and I know your hard work." Jesus sees it all. Everything is laid bare before those blazing eyes and that double-edged sword that we looked at last week. He sees and he knows their good deeds and their hard work. Now, remember what we said a couple of weeks ago at the APCM? We said, if the Son sets you free, then you are free indeed. Remember that? John 8:36. Jesus, though, must set you free. But do you remember, he sets you free to serve. He sets you free to change. He sets you free to follow him. So I just want us to think for a moment about all the things that go on in our church. And as we go through them, you can tick the ones that apply to you, okay? Here we go. Think about what we do. Lunch club, tick. Is that you? Wednesday cafe, sparks, frogs, bumps and babies, Sunday club, holiday club, serving in the kitchen, washing up tea towels, gardening in the churchyard, helping with Denton Community Challenge, turning up when you're on the rota for something, photocopying, visiting people, giving people lifts, looking out for people, emptying bins, putting away tables and chairs, putting tables and chairs out, caring for people. Jesus sees it all. He sees everything. He knows. The person in the vision of Revelation 1, he knows your good deeds. You may not feel very appreciated. You may not feel very recognized. But Jesus loves it. Your hard work is not in vain, he says. I love it. So let me ask you a question. Are you busy serving? If you are, great. Jesus loves it. But if you're not busy serving, why not? Someone has written, church is not a football match where nearly everybody sits and watches while the very few are very active. Church is not a football match. Remember, Jesus loves his church. He holds it in his right hand. Church isn't the only place where we serve God. But the local church should be the main place where we are serving God. So friends, if you're not serving, please come and ask me and I will give you a job. I've got a list and I'll give you a job. If you're not serving, please hear this. Jesus loves a busy church. Or be ready to say yes when somebody asks you. Remember, church is not a football match. Church is not a Brighton game. And actually, thank God. It'd be pretty disappointing, wouldn't it? So Jesus knows. He knows your hard work. But he also knows your discernment. So please keep looking at verse 2. Verse 2, second half. We're in Revelation 2. Verse 2, I know, says Jesus, I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people. I know that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. Jesus knows that Ephesus is a commendably sound church. It would be an enthusiastic member of Sussex Gospel Partnership. It probably wouldn't be a terribly enthusiastic member of Diocesan Synod. It would have taught the Bible. It would have cared about the Bible. And this church would have cared that other people cared about the Bible. Do you see? And Jesus sees all of that. And he knows it and he praises them for it. He says, I love the fact that you are a healthy, sound church, that you love God's word. There is so much that is really fantastic about this church in Ephesus and this church in Denton. And lastly, the thing that Jesus sees and knows and loves is this church's perseverance. So just look at verse 3. Jesus knows that they have persevered and have endured hardships for his name and have not grown weary. John, I want to say to you, if you are sitting here today, okay, Jesus knows the cost that you have borne for him. He knows it. He knows about the bereavement. He knows about the illness. He knows about the opposition that you have endured. He knows about whatever disappointments and setbacks and broken dreams you have endured. He knows. Isn't that amazing? He knows. He sees and he knows that you have kept going when others have fallen away or said, don't bother. This is a wonderful church. There is so much to delight in and to give thanks for, and that's what we should do. But right in the middle, there's a problem. There is a blind spot. Jesus warns them that they lack just one thing. But that one thing means everything. Verse 4. Joan read this really helpfully. "Yet I hold this against you," says Jesus. "You've done all these amazing things, but I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. You have left your first love. I have this against you," he says. "You do not love me as you used to. You keep the rules. You keep the rituals, but you have lost your love for me. And because you've lost your love for me, you've lost your love for my people." And what I take from this is very scary. What I take from this is that you can be a very sound, very serving, very persevering church, and you can lose your love. You can lose it. I've been really helped in the last few couple of days. I've been reading this book. I mentioned it last week. And as it happens, I've got a spare copy of it today. So I really recommend it. You can have it if you want it. It's In Her Words by Patricia St. John. She was a medical missionary for years in rural Muslim Morocco. And one of the most effective stories for sharing the gospel. Do focus on me, not Sebastian. Okay. One of the most effective stories for sharing the gospel that she found was one that I would never really think to use, and it's the parable of the lost sheep. You know the story, don't you? Okay, the man, he has 100 sheep, and he loses just one of them. He has 99 sheep, and he loses just one. And yet he goes after the one that is lost. And to all these desperately poor Moroccan farmers, they say to themselves, why? Why? You see, in that culture, if you owned 100 sheep, that made you a millionaire. So why on earth would you go after the one when you've still got 99? Why? Millionaires don't go out on the mountain looking for one sheep. So they explain why. He went to look for that sheep because he could not rest until his flock was complete. All his heart was with that one missing sheep. And you see, it then becomes this wonderful illustration of the love that God has for us in Christ. God cannot rest. He actually comes to seek and to save the lost. That is the measure of the love that God has for us. That is what God's love is like. He doesn't ask of us something that he has not already given himself. "I have this against you," says Jesus. "I have loved you with such a love, and you have forsaken your love for me." I don't know about you, but this is a warning that we need to hear. You can have everything, says Jesus. You can have great gifting. You can have great teaching. You can have great serving. You can have great knowledge. But if you don't have love for Jesus and love for his people, then you don't have anything. You don't have anything. And if that's us, if that's you and me, here's the great news. We can do something about it. We can do something about it. So verse 5. Look at verse 5. Jesus says, consider. But actually, that word consider is better translated remember. Remember how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. Repeat what you used to do. Remember. Repent. Repeat. You know, it's an amazing thing, isn't it? We spoil so many of our relationships, don't we? I know I do. And the thing is, When normally we spoil relationships, very often it's really hard to repair them, isn't it? Yeah, it's really, really hard to repair them. We mess them up and we can't get them back. But if we heed the warning of Jesus here and do what he says, he will always have us back. Always, always, always. So if you have forsaken your first love, then Jesus says, go back. Remember when you were enthusiastic for me. Remember when you first became a Christian. Cast your mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. And then repent. Turn around, stop, and repeat the things you used to do. I was at a minister's conference a couple of weeks ago, and somebody asked the main speaker, what do you do when you're feeling dry and discouraged? What do you do when actually you don't feel like reading the Bible, you don't feel like praying? What do you do? And this main speaker, he said a couple of things, but he said, the main thing I want to tell you is a really foolish thing to do is to give up reading the Bible, to give up praying, and to give up meeting with other Christians. He said, giving up on those things will almost never help. Never. Maybe you have. Maybe you've given up on some of those things. Well, go back to them, says Jesus. Maybe you've never done some of those things. Read the Bible, pray, meet regularly with other Christians. Maybe you've never realized that the Christian life, if it is about anything at all, it is about love for the Savior and love for his people. We need to do the things of love. You might be struggling to feel any love for Jesus, but he says, do what you did. And when you do what you did, you might then feel what you had. Do. And we must. Because if we don't regain our love for Jesus, he says, I will come to you and I will remove your lampstand from its place. If you do not return to your first love, you will not be my church anymore. You might look good. You might seem healthy and busy, but you will have no future. Do something about it, he says, or you will have nothing. He knows. He warns. But he also promises, okay? We're nearly finished. Verse 7, right at the end. It's a great promise. To the one who is victorious, to the one who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Remember the tree of life? We've thought about the tree of life. We've thought about paradise. It's all there in Genesis at the beginning, and it's all there right at the end in Revelation 2. The tree of life is for all those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ. The tree of life is for all those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And it's all by grace. It's all free. It's all a gift. But you must not lose your way. You must not get distracted. You must not forsake your first love. Here's the thing. God will keep us. He will keep us. But we must keep going. So let me finish with a little story about a young man who went out to Japan as a missionary. You may not know this, but Japan has almost no Christians at all. It is virtually unreached by the gospel. So he goes out to Japan. But years earlier, when he was at school, he was really into running. And one day he was competing in a cross-country race, and his dad came to support him. The boy was doing really well. He thought he was actually out in front leading the race, but his dad kept screaming, "Run, son, run! He's right behind you. Run. Don't look back. Just keep running." So he did. But the dad carried on running alongside, going, "Run, son, run. Don't look behind you. He's right behind you." It was really embarrassing, but very effective. When the boy crossed the line, He was in first place and was finally able to look around, and he realised there was absolutely no one in sight. There never had been. He said he learned two important lessons that day. One, don't trust your dad. Two, and more important, when you stop worrying about what's behind you and focus on the goal ahead, you can run further and faster than you thought. When you stop looking behind you and focus on the goal ahead, you can run further and faster than you ever thought possible. So that boy goes on to begin his ministry in Japan in June 2014. 6 weeks later, his dad has an accident at work and dies. He never saw him again. But he knew that whether it was running a race or the Christian life, his dad had always been supportive to the point of being embarrassing. And he could still hear his dad shouting, "Run, son, run." And that's the point of the first reading in Hebrews 12. When we're tempted to forsake our first love, when we're tempted to slow down, to look back, to lose focus, to stop running, to get distracted, we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. And we need to hear him. We need to hear him on days like today, running alongside us saying, "Keep running. Keep running. Keep going. Don't give up. Don't give up serving. Don't give up persevering." Jesus knows all the good things. He sees all the good things that you are doing. But Christianity is not about a building. It's not about a book. It's not about rituals. It is about a person. And I need to hear this as much as anybody. Get back in love with Jesus and keep going. He will keep us. He will keep us. But we need to keep going. Okay? Get back in love with Jesus. Amen.